In the early 60s, Harold Baptiste started a record label called AFO to record modern jazz in New Orleans. One of the first recordings he made was the Ellis Marsalis Quartet's Monkey Puzzle, with Ellis on piano, Marshall Smith on bass, Nathaniel Perrelatte on saxophone, and James Black on drums. Ellis remembers that session.
Originally, AFO recorded us during the time that I had a club, the Music Haven. We did several of James's pieces. The Monkey Puzzle, which was the title of the recording. We did some of it in the club live, and then we did some of it in Cosmo Matassa's studio. I mean, he was very serious, taking care of business.
About the same time, jazz stars Cannonball and Nat Adderley came to town to record with Black, Marsalis, and Perrelatte. Herb Taylor mentions how the Adderley brothers had seen Black before.
We were up at Florida A&M. It was a dance. Our football team was playing Florida A&M. Well, you know, when you go play another school, football, college kind of thing, there's a dance they put on. And so different cats can come up and play. And so Cannonball's group, they were up there playing. Our group wanted to cut some head, meaning we wanted to show the cats our skill and our ability. So some of our guys went up there. And I think Cannonball was highly impressed by our group, and particularly James.
Guitarist Deacon John often saw the Adderleys in their trips to New Orleans.
Cannonball Adderley and his band, you know, they were frequent visitors in New Orleans. They loved New Orleans because Cannon was like an Epicurean gourmet, man. He just loved to eat. Anybody can tell you that, man. And they befriended all the jazz musicians down here. And they'd come down here, sometimes they weren't playing, just to hang out and go eat and listen to other people play.
Clarinetist and instructor Alvin Batiste wrote two tunes that appeared on this record called In the Bag.
Cannon was just getting into producing, and he had a mission, a self-appointed mission. He wanted to record all the cats from the Boondocks. So we did that date. It was a very great day.
Harold Baptiste recalls that the record had a couple of Black's tunes also.
Fortunately, they wanted to do their tunes. They're doing James's tunes. They did one that we had never recorded, Sister Wilson. They did that one. That was really snappy. It was really a wonderful experience for all of us to have that combination. And the record got out.
After the In the Bag sessions, James Black went to New York to record on the first record by the Dixie Cups. He was also being noticed by some of the heavier hitters on the jazz scene. Within several months, acclaimed saxophonist Yusef Lateef had hired James for his band. Alvin Baptiste explained.
They used to have gigs at Kaufman's on Dryad Street. So they used to have people there. Eddie Harris used to come, Rahsaan Roland Craig, and of course Yusef came. And during that time, a musician who had a voice could really contribute to a band leader's whole portfolio. So he grabbed James right away.
I heard there's a drummer in New Orleans that you ought to check out.
Master bassist Reggie Workman played with Black and Lateef's band. James stayed with Workman when he first lived in New York.
People travel and who had been through here had heard him, so they mentioned his name to me several times. First met James when he came. He was invited to New York to work with Yusef Lateef, and Yusef at the same time invited me to work with him. And I think at that time, Yusef had a couple jobs booked in Philadelphia and Canada and New York, and we began to go on the road together. We traveled around, had a lot of fun together, made some nice music together. James was one of the few drummers who could make any meter or tempo groove And that was his main thing. Any different denomination of notes or phrases, James would concentrate on making it groove. And I like that about him. He would say things like, I don't understand why people are up so tight, because it's 5 or 7 or 9 or whatever the case may be. It's still music and still got the groove, because that's what we are about. I like that concept. When James first came to New York, he was kind of in awe about the whole scene, the whole New York scene, because he hadn't seen that before. I don't think he had ever been to New York before. He was experiencing a lot of the hardships of New York, and he was experiencing, I never forget the time when he was just walking around outside. I said, what are you doing, James? He had never seen snow before. And he was marveling at the snow. Boy, I said, what is this stuff that you guys have here? Oh, man, how do you live with this stuff? It was important for him to impress people that he was a musician, not just a drummer. That was really important for James. He wanted people to respect him as a musician on equal par with the rest of the people in the band. He was a very intelligent person, so most conversations with him were enjoyable. And he always brought something to the beach besides saying.
While in New York, Black played with Yusef Lateef, Lionel Hampton, Horace Silver, James Moody, and Freddie Hubbard. But although he would be back and forth to New York, he moved back to New Orleans in the mid-1960s. Reggie Workman, then Porgy Jones.
New York is a hard place to be, especially for somebody who is not aware of all the traps, all the pitfalls, all the characteristics of people, all the methodology of acquiring work and paying rent and making what you have to do work.
He went out with Yusef Lateef, and he went hang around New York, and I explained to you how New York is. New York, you may play 2 or 3 nights, 4 nights while you're in New York, but the whole week you have nothing to do. So what happened? You hang with the musician, you're with the musician, you hang with the musician. And that's when the activity happened. That's when you get turned on, you get turned out. And during that time, it was still considered fashionable to be on drugs, which is crazy. There's no connection at all, but it was considered fashionable. So hey, you mess around? Come on, let's mess around. And if you don't mess around, you should, because that's the hip thing to do. He played with all the cats. All Blakey heard him and went crazy almost. I just think that he wasn't aggressive enough. I mean, he was an aggressive person, but he wasn't aggressive enough to pursue advancement because of the drug. It's always just the next hit. Opposed to saying, no, I gotta meet this, I gotta meet that person, I gotta see that. Because he had all the ability.